Welcome to the Feeding and Leading Podcast, featuring Todd Fisher and Andy Taylor, a podcast for church leaders focusing on expository preaching, pastoral leadership, and ministry.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this episode where we're going to talk today about the well-being of pastors, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, just the overall well-being of pastors. I'm joined again on this episode with Andy Taylor. How's it going, Andy?
I'm doing well. Todd Fisher?
Well, you and I have some experience in this topic of the well-being of pastors.
Yeah.
And you and I both know firsthand how being the pastor of a local church can be something that just wears you out, and it wears you down. You know, one of the things that I learned about pastoral ministry that I don't think a lot of people fully understand is when you're doing the work of pastoring a church, when you take those hits, you know, somebody chews you out for this, or you walk through a really difficult situation with the family or something, you know, those things have like a cumulative effect on you. They kind of take a chunk out of you. And if you do not care well for yourself, eventually you're going to get just so beat down or burned out that you can't recover from it.
Yeah.
And so I think it is an incredibly important thing for pastors to have a good discipline where they consistently, regularly are doing things that care for themselves, for their soul, for their body, for their mind, in terms of how their family comes into that. But it wears on you. You know, it's a grind sometimes. And if we don't do things as pastors to take care of ourselves in that, you know, we've all seen it. Sometimes there's a little bit of a point of no return sometimes, and you just get so far down, you're so drained, you're so, you know, I've been telling pastors there's a difference between being tired and being empty.
Right.
And there's a lot of guys out there that have moved beyond, the needle has moved past tired and into empty.
Yeah.
And so today we want to talk about some things about how a pastor can care for himself and make sure the needle doesn't get past that, right? And where he doesn't end up being burned out or so beat down that, you know, you can't recover.
Yeah. So let me give you an illustration. Just a simple illustration of this cumulative effect that you're talking about. When I was in the Army, one of the things that we did in Ranger School is you carry a large rucksack over the course of 62 days, a backpack,
right,
for 62 days over 220 miles. And in the course of that backpack, that rucksack either gets heavier or gets lighter according to the amount of water that you have, the amount of food that you have. You want to go as light as you can, but every day you have to either unload some things or load some. If you load something, you're going to have to unload something. And every day you've got to stop and check your feet, check your legs, because you get worn out. There's a cumulative effect to this. Yeah. It's the same thing in pastoring.
Right.
Guys inadvertently don't even know that they're doing it. As they're taking care of others, they're loading up their rucksack.
Right.
And
they
think, I've got to keep walking. I've got to keep going. I don't have time to stop and take care of myself. But you have to.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to end up on the side of the road and out of the fight.
That's a great illustration. And I think our listeners will be like me. And let's just go ahead and ask the question now. How much did the rucksack weigh?
Well, you average about 100 pounds, 90 to 100 pounds, which is insane. But when it gets wet, and it's just like pastoring.
Yeah.
It really is a lot like pastoring. You go through a lot of different things that just keep adding stuff onto you, and you've got to stop and evaluate, what do I need, what do I not need? I've got to let some stuff go.
Yeah. So let's start and talk about the spiritual well-being.
Yeah.
What can pastors do to feed their soul? You know, I love this picture. I've shown it in some of the places I've gone and spoken to pastors. There's this incredible picture. It looked like it was taken from the 50s probably. And it's a guy sitting by a truck and the truck has a flat tire. But it's like a cargo truck. You know, it's got the rails on it so you can see inside of it. Mm-hmm. And what the guy is transporting are tires.
Yeah.
So here's a guy sitting here, and he is in need of the very thing he is delivering. And I thought, man, if that isn't a picture of pastors, so many pastors are feeding their flocks. You know, they're teaching the word, they're preaching the word, they're feeding, they're counseling, they're present, you know, all of these things. They're feeding their flock spiritually, and yet they are short of, they're deprived of the very thing that they are disseminating.
Mm-hmm.
So where would you start with, how can a pastor, as he is spiritually feeding people, how can he make sure that he spiritually feeds himself?
So the first thing I would say is, let's just get really basic, really back to, you know, when you first became a believer, not when you became a pastor, mm-hmm. but when you became a believer, just personal Bible reading.
Right.
Personal time, setting time for prayer. We're all busy people, and I get that.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many people that you could quote on this that give just good counsel. But I think we just got to make it simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me personally, I've stopped right now trying to read through the Bible every
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, I'm just focused in the Gospels. I just need to see Jesus a lot more,
yeah. You
know? I think for every guy, for every season of life, it's a little bit
sure.
different. But I think just getting back to those spiritual disciplines is a good place to start.
Yeah. No. Let me interrupt you right there. And I'm going to ask you a question that I think a lot of pastors think about and kind of deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I didn't talk about this beforehand, so I'm hitting you cold turkey with this right here.
That's good.
What do you think about this? I don't want to call it a debate, but we talk about it a lot. The pastor's devotional life
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the pastor's study time for
yeah.
a sermon. Okay, so can my study time for a sermon, does that suffice as my devotional life? That's a big debate, and I'm going to throw it on you right here on
yeah.
our episode and put you on the spot.
So I've actually, in my doctoral work, I heard one of my professors say, I study so much every day that is my devotional
mm-hmm.
time. And I guess I understand that. I guess if that works for you, then okay.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I have to step outside of the real work of, let's just say, the work of hermeneutics.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to do some of my own simple hermeneutic
mm-hmm.
on my soul, on my heart, my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Not thinking about, well, how can I say this or what needs to be presented, but how do I need to adjust my life
yeah.
to what this word is?
Yeah.
How does Andy, as a Christian, not as a pastor, need
yeah.
to adjust my life to how the word is speaking to me? So
yeah.
for me, that's where I land.
Yeah. I think it is going to be different for each person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to give some latitude there. But
yeah.
I would caution, though, about just, okay, the only thing I'm doing devotionally to feed myself spiritually is my sermon prep time. I think I would encourage guys to move beyond that a little bit. You know, I don't know. To me, there's a time devotionally. I'm reading the Bible. I'm praying. I'm meditating. That it's almost more like I'm laying in the hammock. You know, I'm resting in that. It's an active thing, but
yeah.
it's you know, it's that kind of a picture.
Right.
Sermon prep is like I'm working on my car. Or I'm out clearing and burning brush.
Like you're plowing a field.
It's work.
Yeah.
You know? And now, it doesn't mean that work doesn't energize me.
Of course.
And it doesn't mean that I'm not being spiritually fed when I prepare for a sermon, because I am. You know, I think every pastor can relate to this. There's, you know as well as I do, there's lots of times when I'm preparing a sermon, and man, you just uncover something that's solid gold. And I pushed away from my desk before and just walked around my desk a few times preaching that or thinking about that, going,
yeah.
man, this is so amazing, and
yeah.
it gets you fired up. that is energizing me spiritually. But I just think, you know, for me personally, I get refreshed from just resting.
Yeah.
But also, I can be refreshed from running the chainsaw and burning brush.
Yeah.
Even though that's really hard manual labor.
Yeah.
But it does something. So I think as much as a pastor can spiritually refresh himself in both of those kind of conduits.
Yeah.
One that's like burning the brush, the other that's like laying in the hammock. Mm. I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think guys probably kind of get what we're saying with it. I think not just Bible reading and prayer. I need time just to do some thinking.
Right.
And
I
don't mean thinking about an outline or just some thinking on my own heart, my own life of like self-evaluation.
Right. Sure.
You know?
Yeah. And you get that in that what we're calling devotional time, you know, maybe as opposed to the preparing the sermon kind of time.
I think so.
Just maybe some practical things in terms of devotional life. I have found in different seasons, like you were talking about, just using some different helps, resources. I have found sometimes reading Puritans.
Yeah.
Is a really great thing that helps me kind of kickstart my devotional time, focusing on a certain, you know, the Gospels, like you talked about. Anything you would add in on that?
I love biographies. For me, reading biographies of what I, you know, the way I tag is old dead guys, old great dead guys. That's really good for my soul.
Yeah, and that goes just more of refreshing in general. Yeah. Let's shift gears real quick and think about kind of more physical rest. I think it's important that pastors take a day off. It's important that pastors have a day each week, and then at some points you need a more extended time to unplug.
Yeah,
you got to not have to think about, you know, the grind. Not have to you're not on your phone. You're not doing all that kind of thing. What are some ways you have found that kind of helps you in terms of more a physical rest, you know, taking care of ourselves physically? And I think the mental goes in with that as well, obviously. But what are some things you've done to help with that?
Well, let me just say first, and I know that you know this probably better than I do, because when you're at Emmanuel, you're preaching three services each Sunday. Sundays are exhausting.
Yes.
I remember seeing a survey or a study that was done that said that the average pastor, and how do you qualify average?
Yeah, right.
Exerts about 8 hours of typical energy in a 30 to 45 minute sermon.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you guys. Well, I do know about you guys, all of our pastors that are out there. You're exhausted by the end of a Sunday.
Yeah. That's right.
Sunday is absolutely a work day for you. And if you just try to grind through that and you're going Sunday through Friday and then Saturday, let's face it, Saturday, a lot of times guys are already starting to engage on Sunday morning and you're not taking any time off. Man, you're going to burn out fast.
Yeah.
You're going to burn the candle too quick.
I think it's good to have an activity that, you know, for me, running is a stress reliever. There's something about pounding the pavement with my feet that just is a stress release for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, another thing somebody a long time ago, early on in my ministry, somebody told me this, and I want to throw this out here on this podcast to just give some guys something to think about. You know, the interesting thing about doing ministry is it's something that's never finished. You know, you secular job, you go 8 to 5, and at 5, you leave it all in the office and go home. Pastors don't do that. We're on call 24/7. You're always thinking about it. You're always kind of on call there. And so it's a work that's never finished. You're discipling people. That doesn't really have a finish line.
Mm-mm.
You know, there's so much that we do as pastors that doesn't have a finish line. So the encouragement given to me was find something that you can do that you can finish.
Mow the lawn.
Mow the lawn.
Yeah.
Do a puzzle.
Yep.
Play a round of golf.
Yeah.
You know, and that has surprisingly been good advice to me. And I just want to throw that out there for the guys that are listening to just consider that. That could be a very helpful thing to find an activity you can do like that.
Yeah, I noticed this when I gave the lawn mowing over to my teenage son. So I'm serious. Yeah, I mean, seriously, I was like, wait a second. You know, the truth is that I took it back.
Yeah.
Because I needed to see something finished.
Yep.
And I realized that although, you know, getting out and doing the lawn is a deal, but it's a good thing for me to do on Saturdays.
Yes. Yes. And mowing the yard's a great example.
Yeah.
And I love mowing the yard.
I do too.
And one of the reasons I love mowing the yard is I can turn my brain off.
Yeah. Put some headphones on and go at it.
And it doesn't take much brain power to mow the yard.
You know, you talked about running. Of course, I'm a weightlifter. I love to go into my garage where I have my gym and I throw some weights around, stress relief.
CrossFit. In CrossFit, where you just throw a bunch of junk in your garage around and that?
I don't know. I'm not one of those guys that talks about CrossFit all the time, Matt Emerson.
We'll get it from him
if he's listening
to this. Just quickly, some other things. I think managing schedule is another important thing for pastors to do that can help with just overall well-being, where there's just certain things you kind of have to learn to say no to.
Yeah.
And we want to be accessible. We want to be all of those things as pastors. But we have to know our limits in terms of time. And I think schedule is something that's good for a lot of pastors to really think through.
Yeah. So early when in ministry, I had somebody tell me that they gave their mornings to God, their afternoons to the church, and their evenings to family. And for work days, I think that's generally that it doesn't have to follow that exactly. It might be flipped. I mean, somebody – you just have to go on when's your best clear thinking time or whatever. But I like that. I like that idea of having some set times of when you're going to do what.
Yeah.
And it's very helpful.
Another thing that I've been kind of talking to guys about so far in this – new role for me is talking to pastors about relationships, friendships.
Yes.
It is hard many times for pastors to have a really good close friend or friends in the church. Now, some pastors do have that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's face it, that dynamic of the relationship between pastor and parishioner can kind of be an interesting one sometimes. And what I mean by that, an example of that is every one of us as pastors, we know exactly what this is like. I think we mentioned it earlier. You know, you walk into a room and people are talking, and then all of a sudden they see you walk in the room and, let's watch what we say. Or they don't even say something like that. You can just tangibly feel the – so what I would say is sometimes pastors' best friends are other pastors.
Yeah.
Another pastor knows what it's like to be in the trenches. He knows what it's like to be, you know, chewed out by the deacon 2 minutes before you're going to preach or whatever, you know. And I always say that when I'm in these meetings, you know, I say, hey, guys, look around the room. Nobody in here is your enemy.
Right.
Pastors are a band of brothers. And I think pastors need friendships. And a good place to find those friendships is other pastors. And I think that's where an association is really an important thing, where you can reach out to pastors that are near you, because a lot of our pastors are isolated. Yeah. They're out there. They're the only staff member. And having good friendships where I can go to somebody and say on Monday morning, hey, man, this happened to me yesterday, that is such a good, important part of our overall well-being. That we've got somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, we're talking to our wives.
Yeah, but that's, you know, a pastor has to have a place where he can emotionally vomit.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's graphic, but
sure.
I use that a lot in the Army. And you don't want to do that all the time with your wife.
That's right. I agree. Yeah,
you know?
That's exactly right.
And that's why we need a brother who knows exactly what you're talking
that's
about.
Right.
He'll just sit and listen.
That's right.
And you'll be able to do it with each other. But you got to be intentional about going out and doing that.
Well, let's wrap this up. And essentially, the big thing we want to say here is pastors need to take care of themselves. And yeah. if we are not being intentional about that, then we could really find ourselves in some trouble. And so that's got to be an important thing for pastors. I think you got a few books you were going to maybe mention before we close that might be helpful for guys.
Well, I think books for me, and it's so ironic, but you know, when I was growing up, I was not a reader at all. Probably by the time I got to OBU, I had never read a full book all the way through. And now I love reading. The Pastor's Soul by Brian Croft and Jim Savastio. I butchered your name, Jim. So sorry. The Pastor's Soul. One of the better books that I've read probably in the last 5 years.
Yeah, it is good.
I think very helpful. It gives an overall comprehensive way of looking at taking care of yourself, which, by the way, all the topics we talk about today could probably be a podcast on their own.
Exactly.
And we're giving away this book.
Yeah, and say it again. It's The Pastor's Soul.
The Pastor's Soul, The Call and Care of an Under-Shepherd.
Okay.
By Brian Croft and Jim S. And then one other book I have a bunch of other books, but What Great Ministry Leaders Get Right by Jimmy Dodd. And why is it that the second name of every book on here is hard to pronounce? Renaud Vanderate. 6 Core Competencies You Need to Succeed in Calling. We've been giving away the Pastor's Soul book. You can contact your regional ministry partner. We've still got a number of those left, and we'd love to give it to you.
Yeah, that's great, man. All right, Andy, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks, Todd.
It's good stuff. So, pastors, be sure you take care of yourselves.
Amen.
This episode of Feeding and Leading has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptist. Visit us at oklahomabaptist.org or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptist, advancing the gospel together.